You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Oh my God. This is Hungover, a new mini-series where we follow some of our favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage.
We're going to be checking in with these artists before rehearsal, during rehearsal, seeing the process, and then afterwards during performances.
So you'll get a unique perspective on their journeys to getting back to normal.
So grab your hair of the dog, because this is Hungover. Cheers!
Cheers!
Welcome to this week's episode of Hungover, the Equity One mini-series where we follow some of your favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage. I'm Elliot.
And I'm Caleb. Welcome.
Caleb, it feels like we're back home.
It is. We're back in the studio.
We're sitting in front of my singular microphone. Sorry, everyone.
Hey.
And we are drinking an open jar. You and I are drinking
yes.
an open jar. Yeah, so it feels right.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there are signs in some Ripley Greer's that say, like, don't
no
drink
alcohol
in here, and that's our bad.
Yeah, it's our fault, because we left bottles of champagne with Kate Lumpkin in,
yeah.
in the tiny studio.
Sorry, everyone.
Yes.
We are here with our fave, Tim Hughes.
Hi.
Open containers and open jars.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Yes. You have the cute little, like, sippy cup lid, so hopefully that stops a little bit from falling out.
For sure.
How are you doing, Tim? You are in the midst of a sprint.
For sure. I mean, it feels very appropriate that this is the hangover episode, because my body does feel hungover. I'm super excited. Like, we're definitely ready to reopen, to, like, share with an audience again. And that feels so incredible. But it's been quick, and it's been crazy. But we will reopen in front of an audience invited dresses tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long were you in rehearsals? It's a short process.
We were here at Open Jar Studios for about 2 weeks, I think, and then we've been in the theater for 1 week. We've been in costumes for 2 days, two run-throughs.
16 hours.
We literally had, the workers have two, like, kind of very quick changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we never rehearsed them. We just, like, did a run, and fingers crossed that, like, our body was going to remember. And sure enough, I kind of did. I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
As I, like, take off my clothes.
Totally.
But it worked. Everybody was ready. Everybody got through it. And we just, like, a lot of it, they're just trusting we'll kick back in. And miraculously, it has. I feel like we're going to reach a point where, in the beginning, I felt like my long-term memory was battling my short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. Things that, like, I remembered, and then there were big gaps that, like, filled in with, like, new thought.
Sure. Okay.
And now, for anybody who's done, like, a long run before, you get to that place where you start questioning, like, is this...
If you, like, don't think about it, just let
it
go,
yeah.
let it go.
Yeah.
And now, like, the letting go has, like, a two-tiered system of doubt. It's like, oh, God, like, I don't know, is this new? And, like, so, we'll see, but... so far, so good in everything's come, like, flooding back to me.
How's it like being back in, like, the dressing rooms and, like, in the theater? And
oh, my God. So exciting. When we first had our, like, meet and greet at mm-hmm. the Walter Kerr, Jordan Roth of Drew Jansen was like, this building turned 100 during the pandemic.
Hey.
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
and
wow.
then, like, just went through the beautiful list of the productions that had been there. And the history of that space, and there's just nothing like that. You know,
right.
I feel like when I've taken vacation in Europe, I'm like, the history here is
mm-hmm.
so much older than me.
So much.
And you can see it in the architecture, and you can see it all around you in the culture, in the aesthetic of those of a lot of those countries, that I think the newness of our country, we kind of miss some of that in the architecture and in New York City. But for some reason, in those theaters, it feels like that history is older than the rest of the surroundings.
Yes, oh, totally. For sure.
Which is beautiful. I love it.
I wonder if the theater ghosts are like, "Damn, everyone's back," or if they're like kind of excited.
Oh,
or
I'm sure. Like... I'm sure they're having cocktails.
Like, they're like, I'm sure they're "We got laughing. A show coming up."
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to be scaring and causing mischief and raising holy hell through mold and dust.
Some things never change. So you back quick and dirty into rehearsals. Like, how were you feeling in that? Like, you said you're kind of feeling like maybe your body is a little like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Talk about like getting back into like the intense process that is rehearsing for a Broadway show.
The crazy thing was when we were here at Open Jar, because so many shows are reopening at the same time, mm-hmm. and our show is smaller in mm-hmm. cast, we were pushed into like a small studio.
A corner lot.
A corner, yeah. So I kept joking it was like the Treehouse studio. I was like, oh. And so we really couldn't do like full energy, full out.
Sure.
Up until about a week ago when we got into the space. And with Hadestown, we have a lot of turntables and moving automation. And it really jolts your body. Like, you have to get used to it. I had tried to pride myself on the fact that I was going to be in, like, good physical shape to get back to the show. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the micro muscles that were gripping in order to stay on that turntable that are just screaming at me right now.
Yeah.
Because we've only had a week. You know, we've only had a week in that space. And I was like, oh, I remembered this happening before. And having like a week on mm-hmm. automation, and then my body kind of gripping and needing to relax. But then I had two or three more weeks before we're opening the show.
Exactly. Right.
Now I have like two or three more hours in front of an audience.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like the healing process of the adjustment process is also been expedited. And we'll just have to continue to adjust in front of an audience. I'd found this like hip opening release of tension in your lower back yoga.
Yeah, force it. Is it the you pull your knee back?
Yeah, for sure. And I sent it to like every one of my castmates.
Like,
and I was like, if you're feeling the way that I'm feeling on this day off, I just cried through this stretch. So so here's a gift from me to you. So it's been interesting. Unprecedented for sure.
Yeah.
In getting back into that shape. But the other side of that is like the spirit behind the show, like all that work of like depth and meaning that comes over time in doing a show over and over, that clicked back in. Like we felt it like right away in running the show in the theater, especially when the band came in.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, because they're on stage with you. It's like, it's,
oh my god, when
it, yeah.
when Brian Dry on the trombone started playing that opening sequence, like, I burst into tears. I was like, oh, and my body just kind of knew, like, went to a different place and it kicked back in.
Yeah.
But there've been 1,000 little moments like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes so much sense. Anyone who's, like, ever done a show knows that, like, the first day with the orchestra is, like, the best day.
Exciting.
Like,
yeah.
It's just exciting to, like, hear actually what you're going to be doing because the energy is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that was just, like, times 100.
Yeah. You get that even before a regular show sometimes. When you, like, hear the orchestra, you're like, okay, let's go. The endorphin's pumping. So, after months, you're like, let's fucking go!
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
And because of the scheduling, there was no, like, Zitzprobe. We were just doing a run for the first time with the orchestra on stage.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, back into the routine. I mean, one of my favorite moments is All I've Ever Known, where we finish like Living It Up on Top, and we watch the Orpheus and Eurydice do this beautiful mm-hmm. Duet, and I sit next to the violin player and the celloist, mm-hmm.
cellist,
flautist. I don't know. Anyway, I get to sit right next to them, like in and listen to their like beautiful strings, and I just had forgotten. How much I enjoyed that moment until it happened again.
Those little things that you like think about that you're like, oh, in your first run, you're like, oh, this is cool, and then, like, you zone out, and maybe that's where you're, like, going through groceries or just focusing on the scene or thinking about, like, you know, a time to breathe, and then you're like, oh, I miss most the kind of backstage rituals. Like, I think about that all the time. Like,
oh, yeah.
The high fives.
Whoever I high five, who I say hello to, which way I walk through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, those little interactions are, like, are so special, and you don't even... That's what I think about the most. I remember those more than I think I remember anything that I did in the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We have those, too. We don't get as much time.
You don't leave.
Yeah. But we do have the, like... the meet and greet before we go on stage. I get to be with Eva and then three or four members of the band. Mm-hmm. And the cue light went off the other day, and we were like, "What did we say here?" And I was like, "Oh my god, I think I say hold on to your butts." And then Eva was like, "Oh, and I say fuck him in the hearts." And I was like, why did we say that?" And then we like ran on stage.
Yeah,
but then sure enough, it like came back immediately. Yeah.
Oh my god, if we were doing episode titles for Hungover, it would be hold on to your butts and fuck them in the heart.
Mine is a Jurassic Park reference. Oh. Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, don't know, I don't.
What?
I've seen Jurassic Park maybe once.
Oh, well, time to watch it again.
Well, I'm ready for the Jurassic Park musical. So
oh my god. Like,
you get those full, like, body, like...
Didn't they actually had like an off-Broadway.
Yeah, like a pair. I think it was called Triassic Park.
Yeah, but I heard it was great.
Yeah, I heard it was really good,
actually. I'm sure it's fierce. I'm sure if we're bringing Jaws, the musical, like, bring like a legit...
Who said that? Oh, right.
There's like a making of the Jaws movie happening.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's like,
yeah.
Two notes.
Well,
they better get the rights.
It's epic.
Yeah, they better get the rights or else they're going to be changing it to... just slightly changing it. Yeah.
It going down.
Has there been anything like now what a lot of people don't realize maybe like when you're doing a Broadway show is like how much even though we're just working like 3 hours, 4 hours a night, how much it like actually like takes a toll on your life outside of it. Has getting back into, you know, rehearsals are kind of like more like a 9-to-5, you're doing this, but has adjusting to the schedule been difficult at all for you?
For sure. I forgot that I don't have time to go to the grocery store. One of the greatest luxuries of the time off was, like, making dinner. Yesterday was my day off, and I, like, made a meal, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I've been doing this a lot.
Yeah.
And when you're in tech rehearsal and you go till 10:30 at night, you don't make yourself a nice meal in the evening anymore. So I realized that I missed that. But for sure, like the scheduling adjustment is, I have to like go work out or warm up my body ahead of time, get to the theater. And then you're there till 10.
Long days.
It's very long days.
And then the train or cab ride home, it's like exhausting.
Yeah. And we haven't even been, the intense adrenaline hasn't even kicked in.
Uh-huh. Right.
I mean,
and you're like, I need to burn some energy off. Like.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the adrenaline rush of this week because I am going to need it. And then I'm sure that I'll start feeling and settling into that new schedule, like, in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Right, because the schedule completely changes again.
Yeah.
And
then it feels like you have so much time during the day until, like, then rehearsals kick in.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, yeah.
TV appearances start happening, and...
It's like opening a whole new, like, opening the show again. You have to do all those performances.
Yeah. I mean, the first year of any new Broadway show, especially a show that does well, mm-hmm. is just... packed full of events and appearances.
We
opened, like, for Hades, I mean, we opened the show, then we were like had the full campaign to promote the show, then the full campaign of the Tonys,
mm-hmm.
And then post Tonys you have to like stay relevant. We were just getting to like the year two mark where what feels like things kind of settle in, where you don't have to do all of those shows and you kind of ride the momentum of everything you've created.
Yeah.
And now we have to...
all over again.
Like, yeah, like, turn it all up again.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. We definitely have some new TV appearances coming up. But I'm hoping that once we reopen this, that there will be that more of that balance of like, okay, I think that I need to maintain that balance more. I think we all do in the aftermath of what I learned in this quarantine and the pandemic is the balance of life and career needs to be more evenly weighted.
Yeah.
And our industry doesn't allow for that as much. Yeah. So I'm going to have to prioritize that, finding that balance, and hopefully things will adjust in order to accommodate that.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about is like, is the fact that you can't make dinner, that you like, you know, you work, you know, 6 days a week and then your one day a week is spent going to the grocery store and cooking your food for the whole week, like doing, you know, or, you know, you're getting delivery, you're getting takeout and everything every single day.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not like, it's an adjustment for sure after all this time of like being home. Like I've cooked every single meal.
Yeah.
Like as I, before, like. Just making it.
Yeah, I'm.
It's like
I'm
very foreign.
The therapy of all of that, like of just being in your home.
I'm gonna miss my Dutch oven. Like I'm just gonna. I'm gonna miss it.
What color is it?
Oh, it's like an ocean blue.
Love the ocean blue.
You know they come in such pretty colors.
It matches the cabinets.
Yes. Oh my god. And your first walls in your first apartment, right?
Seaside
or something.
Oh my god. No, oh my god. Yeah, yeah. Poolside.
Poolside.
Yes.
Well. Okay, well, tell us, what's been your, like, favorite Dutch oven recipe that you've been doing?
One of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten was my sister got me this thing called Butcher Box for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the meats.
So just send you meat. Yeah.
They're like, you want some meat? Here's some variety.
My neighbors have never been more jealous. They're like, your meat's here. And I was like, thank God. But I've been using, like, I get amazing filet mignons and steaks and... I've been doing like the searing technique of sear it, take the meat out, put all like the potatoes and veggies in, and then put the steak back in and throw it in the oven.
Do you believe in butter? Do you have butter too?
Oh yes. You have to sear in the butter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Paula Deen. It's all about the butter. So that like basic filet mignon recipe has been my go-to.
We've actually been trying meatless.
What?
The last 2 weeks, yeah.
How's that?
Happy for you, but like...
You know, it's been good. It's good. Well...
I roll.
I mean, I still have... You know, I'm a creature of habit, so I still have, like, my turkey wrap for lunch.
Okay.
But Michael's been really interested in trying it, and he feels better.
Do you feel energized? Do you feel like a new gal?
I feel I feel absolutely the same. He feels, like, super, like... energized and like feels the difference.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same, so like I'm down. I've been vegetarian before.
You have, yeah.
What is the play where is it August Osage County when one of the sisters was like talking about the fear of the animal before they die?
Oh,
and eating the fear. That rings true to me.
Yes.
I'm like, that's kind of poetic and meaningful to me. I kind of buy into that.
Oh, for sure, but it's still delicious.
I know.
I mean, I still eat, you know, I have my turkey, I have my...
Just not that affected by eating
stuff, you know, when we go out to dinner.
No, like, when it's prepared by someone else, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the same.
When you just, like, point it on the menu and it shows up, like...
But honestly, like, it gives a little, just a little bit of variety, because we're very, like, you know, Michael's very fitness-focused, we're very, like, we make the food for the week, and then we have this for lunch, and then the pork for dinner, and so, like... The change of, like, oh, we're having multiple options because it's veggies and we can't just have, like, the same thing every night.
Yeah.
That, to me, is, like, has been a nice, like, switch it up.
Hmm. Yeah.
Not saying we're sponsored by HelloFresh, but HelloFresh
is
a great meal substitute. Just order your meals 3 to 4 a week. They show up.
What are you doing?
Cole and I love HelloFresh. It's really changed our relationship in the kitchen, actually, because Cole is very, he likes... I'm a sous chef, but now I'm a better sous chef because I chop, he does it, sometimes I cook. HelloFresh.
Not this ad.
Use Equity One.
Use code Equity One, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
We've just become a food podcast.
I would love that, please.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, are you ready for some quick cues? That's what we're calling these fun questions.
Quick cues?
Quick cues.
Yeah, yes. I love an alliteration.
Yes, me too. Okay, favorite rehearsal snack?
Cashews and, well, actually, crystallized ginger.
Ooh, spicy.
It actually, I became a habit when I did carnival at Goodspeed and Touring Circus, Ben Franklin and Josh Dean, my friends, they were doing some like crazy spinning, so he always had ginger next to his station at intermission because it helped with his dizziness.
Yeah.
Oh. Seasickness, yeah.
Yeah.
I just, quick shout out, there's a new gay bar on 43rd and 10th. This is called The Spot. And I ordered a whiskey ginger the other day, and they garnished it with a ginger chew.
With candy ginger. Yeah, I was like,
oh.
Yeah, that's my kind of cocktail.
Royalty?
Thank you. Okay. The summer is nearing its end.
Don't say that. How dare you.
I'm not pushing it away.
This isn't a question.
Global warming is climate change is keeping the heat here, but like.
Right.
Seasonally, right. Fall is almost here. What's a summer activity that you haven't gotten to do yet? You need to do before the.
Oh my god, summer activity. Well, I can never get enough beach time.
Mm-hmm. Never enough.
Never enough.
Never.
I did make
never.
It upstate. Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
I did make it upstate, which was great. I mean, also, like, I did just get out near Woodstock and had a grill and kind of checked off all the things I wanted to be doing for the summer.
Woodstock is fun. The area.
It's
we went to the
fun,
museum
yeah.
and it was like, this is a legit fun museum.
Yeah, it's a very fun area. I love going upstate. Trying to think. I mean, I would say I haven't been to the beach here in New York. Like,
mm-hmm.
I went.
Greece.
Yeah, and I feel like I would like to do that. Or Coney Island. I haven't done
I've
that.
I've never been to Coney
Neither
Island.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, it's, Labor Day is here.
There's an amazing book called Museum of Extraordinary Things, speaking of like the freak show and the circus, about the origins of like extraordinary creatures gathering around Coney Island and like old school New York.
Mm-hmm.
Read that and then go to Coney Island.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It's very cool. Because the history there is tremendous.
Yes. Yeah.
And way, speaking of like old history, way older than I imagined. So it takes a lot of that, like, carnival cheesiness away from it because it's really rooted in
community, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and, yeah, definitely community, but also just, like, just a safe haven for like, artists and eccentric people of the time.
It's so funny. Like, New York is full of those. Like, that's what Fire Island was.
Yeah,
That's why, like, the districts of our city are, like...
The West Village,
you know,
East Village.
I mean,
like,
it's a sad history of, you know, people that were oppressed needing to just be together and strengthen numbers and be able to have their own culture. You know, that's why Chinatown, Little Italy, that's why these places exist. And so it's interesting that, like, all these parts of New York have that history behind them.
Do you know, I don't know if this is true, that, you know how all this, like, the grid kind of goes off the path in the West Village? I had heard that the streets started veering north in order to avoid, like, the quarantine area of sick people below it.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, there was, like, a... maybe it was a pandemic of some sort, but like they were quarantining people together, and they decided to veer the streets away from it, away from that area, and that's why
the
grid goes
kind of like turned.
Yeah, that's
like
why
down.
The grid goes crazy in the West Village.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, but I'm curious.
We love history.
Yeah,
Caleb's a history minor.
History minor.
Well, let's check it out.
Yes.
We'll Google it after.
Okay.
Caleb used to help me write my history papers. wink.
Help you.
Wrote them and you had your name on top.
Well, okay, if we're being transparent, okay, I plagiarized, and he would get pissed because I would just, like, clean them up a little bit.
So I would get, like, an A, he would get, like, an A+.
Thanks, sis.
Onward! Pumpkin spice season is upon us.
Yes.
Besides the usual, like, latte, donut, where do you add pumpkin spice into your life and where, like, try something new?
Besides, like, the coffees and,
yeah,
and breakfast treats,
yeah,
you know, I loved a pumpkin cinnamon spiced cider at, like,
yes,
at a social gathering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love a
hot
toddy.
Do you add
toddy.
A little whiskey to it, or you just love it like...
Of course!
Okay, great.
Bourbon,
yes,
whiskey, like... I love throwing, like, a fall social party.
Fall y'all.
Yeah, fall y'all. Y'all. Yeah. And especially because it creates, like, the smell in
yes,
my
yes,
apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's cozy and...
And a hot drink, too, just works so much faster.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So much faster. The science.
It's science, you know.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah,
get the hot drink and the hot shower. You'll be done before you're ready. Oh, lol. Okay. So we talked about, like, wear and tear on your body. So how are you taking care of your aches and pains?
I'm desperately texting my acupuncturist.
Can you show up at the theater? Like,
well, because her schedule has changed now because of the pandemic. So now I have to adjust to that, and I was routinely doing that once a week, but I got a massage on my day off, which was great.
Yes.
And I have had to adjust to not working out the same way. Like, that's like a new learned adjustment.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, like,
I can't
have to go easy a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, anything on my, like, on my legs is too much. If I, even if I'm like, oh, I feel fine, I realized after this past week, I'm like, I just need to rest.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing that people don't think about is, like, the, like, when you work out during a show, you're kind of working out to, like, undo whatever is going on
yeah.
in your, that you're doing 8 times a week.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, even though you're doing, like, a crazy demanding show and you're sweating and it's really involved, like, you still have to, like, keep your body able to do other things,
yep.
otherwise the muscle memory can be really dangerous.
Yeah, you're like, I'm lifting this chair with my right arm all the time, I need to
strengthen
yeah. my left arm.
Yeah.
Because
I'm lifting chairs and tables and
people.
Women galore.
You're lifting the stage. Like, you a little bit to the left.
You know when the stage moves in the show? It's me.
You're actually, like, turning
wow.
the table.
Spoiler alert.
Pulling back the curtain here.
Okay, last question. What's something you've learned about yourself through this rehearsal process that's new? Like,
I think what I've learned about myself through, like, the return of rehearsing and seeing my cast again has been, like, how much I'm how social I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
How complete I feel to be performing again.
Yeah.
Like, I think I recognized it during the time of, like, oh yeah, something is missing in my life right now, and I had to adjust my whole life around that.
Right.
But I think, like, what I'm realizing now is, like, being back and being creative in a room with like-minded people, like, I don't even need to get onto that stage in front of a live audience to feel complete again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sense of creativity and play is so much a part of what I need and who I am as a person. And I feel like it's safe to kind of finally acknowledge that again. Acknowledging that in the past year and a half was scary because it wasn't there, you
right.
know? And it would be an acknowledgement of feeling incomplete.
Yeah.
And now in the aftermath, I can kind of admit, oh God, that was how I would describe how I felt. And it wasn't devastating, you know? I'm still
right.
a very solid person. And,
of course.
And stable in my life. But it's just that additional sense of fulfillment now that I have being back in the room that I'm learning is a big part of myself.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I feel like so much of, like, what is my, like, why I do this is that part.
Mm-hmm.
Is the part where you're, like, making something, even if it's something that's been made before, redoing, you know, putting it back up, being having that community, that, like, sense of we are here together working toward this common goal, is, I've realized, too, in the past few years that that is, like, one of the most important things to me.
It's why I could never be behind a desk. It's, like, why I could never do anything else. Yeah. Because most other occupations don't allow for that.
The community and mixing.
Yeah. I always feel so lucky to be doing this as my career.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are so excited to see you back up on the stage. By the time our listeners are hearing this, you will be opening.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm basically getting ready for opening
there.
Right now.
I know. Okay. Now, are you having a party?
Sore subject. the answer is we're still waiting on an invitation. I don't think there's an organized party.
Caleb and I just took a sip at the exact
party. I guess someone better have an open bar.
That
somewhere.
Fall festival fall party that I usually throw at my apartment might be coming in Thursday night.
Well, we'll be living it up on your living room.
On the top of my apartment building.
Tim, thank you so much, and we cannot wait to check in with you once you've opened and you're back in the groove of things to finish out the series. Where can people find you on social media?
And you can check me out on Timothy R. Hughes on Instagram. My community and business is at Performers Puzzle on Instagram. I'm also at Tim Hughes on Facebook, or Timothy Hughes and Performers Puzzle is my business page on Facebook.
Yes. You can find the show at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Equity One Podcast.
Find us at Twitter at Equity1_. Send us an email at equity1podcast@gmail.com and head over right now, click that middle button, swipe over to the Apple Podcast app and give us a 5-star.
Middle button? And is this 2009?
Exactly. Some people still have a middle button. I know.
Middle button?
I'm sorry. Like, you know, like how sometimes, like, people say, like, you know, you turn that dial, like.
Sure,
you know,
okay,
like,
all right.
I'm like, I'm with you. Look,
oh my
look
God.
At my phone. I don't have a middle button. Okay.
I don't know that we're to the place where, like, middle button is as nostalgic as, like, a rotary phone, but, like, we'll get there.
Swipe up something.
I love that.
Go to the Apple Store podcast. Give us a 5-star rating review.
Oh
and
my God, I love
say,
that.
Like, how Elliot has attacked Caleb and, like, give him some slack.
Yeah, team Caleb or Team Elliot.
Exactly. No, hashtag.
No, I think it's funny. Yeah, that's hilarious. Caleb, where can people find you on social media?
Yes. Caleb Dickey on everything. And Elliot.
You can find me at Elliot Maddox on everything. And until next time.
Cheers.
Yay.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.